Blog Talk Radio.
I've heard you both. I've hated you ever since I can remember. I hate you, and I wish you both had cancer.
Cancer?
Yes, in the head.
I'm as tired as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
People seem to like me because I am polite and I'm rarely late.
And now the host of the Stupid Cancer Show, Matthew Zachary.
Monday, April 13th. And we are once again live on the Stupid Cancer Show, The Voice of Young Adults with Cancer. We are your friendly neighborhood weekly social webcast, finally giving that voice to nearly 5 million young adults affected by cancer. This broadcast is a program of the I'm Too Young for This Cancer Foundation, a national leader in the fight against cancer, working exclusively on behalf of survivors and their care providers under the age of 40. Got cancer under 40? Sucks, huh? Well, get busy living because the Stupid Cancer Show is on the air. Welcome to tonight's broadcast because we're here to change the world one chemo infusion at a time and share all of our collective crapness. Now, call me a hippie, but do not call me a victim because I don't believe that change is possible if you never disrupt and challenge the status quo. I am still here, you are still here, and this is why we fight. Forget the cure, folks. That's right, you heard it here first. Forget the cure. Survivorship is all that matters. So welcome, my friends, to the Stupid Cancer Movement, because we're here to stay and the couch is comfy. Here in Stupid Cancer Land, we're not just about the quantity of your life, we're about the quality, too. Why? Because there's more to the cure than just research. The need to cure cancer in Gen X and Gen Y, whatever that means, is only going to come from within our own ranks. Are we on our own? Well, I say that if we're the generation that invented Google and Facebook and Second Life and kept Sanjaya on American Idol all those weeks, we should be able to take care of our own. This is Generation Cancer, and it is our fight. We have the sheer numbers, the voting power, and the influence to change the rules, because remission is not an excuse for a cure, and once again, survivorship is all that matters. Last week's show, starting off National Young Adult Cancer Awareness Week, the 7th annual National Young Adult Cancer Awareness Week, we had David Tabatsky, author of the new Chicken Soup for the Soul book, The Cancer Book, 101 Stories of Courage, Support, and Love. We had Vicky Blankenship, young adult survivor, musician, singer, songwriter, contributing artist to the I2Y Benefit CD Volume 1. We had uber rock stars from the young adult movement, Heidi Adams from Planet Cancer, and Thomas Schimmel from Vital Options and host of the Group Room Cancer Talk radio show. Tonight, Stupid Cancer 101 with I2Y singer-songwriter advocate Debbie Hennessy, who will be performing at the Cancer Palooza event in Los Angeles on May 18th. Young adult survivor Bob Grayson, cancer patient advocate and host of the Cancer Corner radio show. And Sona Mehring, cancer patient advocate and founder, executive director of Caring Bridge. Some good guests on the show tonight, my friends. So welcome to yet another fun-filled and exciting romp through the hay on tonight's broadcast. And a Stupid Cancer welcome to all of our first-time listeners here on the Blog Talk Radio Network, coming at you live from the Chemo Deck, our fabulous studio in downtown Manhattan. I'm your host, Matthew Zachary, a 13-year pediatric brain cancer survivor, and joining me live in the studio tonight and every Monday night, our chief cancer anarchist, Jack Bouffart. Hello, Jack.
Hey, Matt. How are you?
Good to see you, my friend.
Good to be seen.
Well said. Well said. Jack will be monitoring our live, concurrent, interactive chat room, so if you have something to say, while I might ignore you, he won't. But feel free to ignore him, as most people do, especially the women.
Yes, enough of that.
All right. Are you saying we need to revise the monologue?
No, I'm just tired of it. I want a girl to talk to me.
Okay, so we're basically still stating the truth. You're just tired of that being the truth.
I think if I want this to happen, I should change my username.
I think that you need to definitely reinvent yourself.
Yeah, because Jack Bouffard is not getting any attention.
Have you seen What Not to Wear?
Is that a movie?
No,
because I was TiVoing the Bridezilla marathon.
That was
that.
A
yeah.
veiled attempt at making people think you know the TLC program
yeah,
lineup.
I was reaching.
Okay.
I was thinking
clearly.
Of it's all about the dresser. Isn't there something?
There's something like that, yes. I'm going to agree.
I don't know.
And unfortunately for all of our listeners, Carol Rosenthal, my partner in crime here, author of the acclaimed book, Everything Changes, The Insider's Guide to Surviving Cancer in Your 20s and 30s, is not feeling well tonight. She's taken the day. We're sending our good karma to her for feeling better. Carol, we're all here for you out there in Chicago. Feel better, and we'll have you here next week.
Get better, Carol.
Yeah, get better, Carol. And interestingly enough, we love the fact that we have our brand-new studio here in downtown Manhattan, which we affectionately call the Chemo Deck, because we can actually have a live studio audience and in-studio guests. And we are joined tonight by some returning champions and some new friends, I2Wire, Hodgkin survivor, advocate, anarchist, and the closest, and this is a compliment, the closest female equivalent to Jack Bouffart I've seen yet.
She is way better looking than I am.
Well, I didn't mean physically.
Oh. Okay.
In fact, I meant the exact opposite of physically.
Yeah, she's hot.
Annabelle Holland, everybody. Welcome to the Chemo Deck.
Hey,
we'll
Annabelle.
Give you a little
give
a little applause here for Annabelle.
Hi, guys.
All righty.
Annabelle.
We're also joined by a new I2Wire from Queens, breast cancer survivor in treatment now, Lisa Wolf. Give a shout out. I don't know if you can hear that, but Lisa's here.
She's waving at the microphone.
She's waving at the microphones. It's a visual thing. It's a visual thing. And, of course, one of our newest fans to the Stupid Cancer universe, hailing originally from the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society and schlepping from Queens to White Plains every day for the last couple of years. Please welcome Rhonda Miller.
Thank you.
Not only is the couch comfy, but it's full.
The couch is comfy and it is full. It's nice to have people in an office and not be the only one here. So Jack, yeah, how you been?
Busy. I actually had a good time Saturday night. I went to your concert.
I had a concert?
You had a great concert.
Thank you very much. Yes, my return to the stage concert this Saturday at the Ann Goodman Recital Hall in New York City was humbling and cathartic. I think those are the two most appropriate words I can think of. I wanted to thank everyone who came out in support of the
crowd.
Event. We had a great crowd.
Good
I think
food.
The food was great. Thank you, Fresh Direct. I think my dad served as the unintended comic relief of the evening. So thank you, Lou, for making everyone's evening that much more pleasurable.
Thanks, Papa.
Yes. And it was great. I really had a good time. I honestly hadn't. I played for an hour and a half pretty much straight. And thank you, Laura Higgins, for opening for me. An amazing talent.
Laura was amazing.
Laura was just great. We did post some footage of my concert on YouTube and on Facebook. So if you guys want to check out one of the songs I played, Jack recorded it on his cell phone, and we have some photos put up on the Facebook page and on YouTube. You can just check those out on our website. And we're going to be having our professional pictures posted online this week, thanks to Chad Rockman, who took amazing pictures. I saw a couple of them, and just humbling and cathartic to do that again. And
it
now,
was good.
Yeah, thank you
we're
very much.
We're all proud of you.
Thank you very much. I'm going to give myself applause because I never do that.
All right, let's not get carried away.
Yeah, I'm going to own this just once, okay? There we go. All right, thank you very much. So it's the end of National Young Adult Cancer Awareness Week.
I'm tired.
Have you been running around awarenessing yourself to death?
Yeah, I was out with my stupidcancer.com t-shirt everywhere and made an appearance on television in Connecticut promoting Young Adult Cancer Awareness Week.
And you've done good with that.
IGY. Thank you.
Wearing the signature Jack Bufford red-shouldered baseball jersey.
That's right.
That's like you're like a mascot. That's your costume.
It's one of the most comfortable shirts I wear.
Clearly.
So.
Do you wash it?
On Thursdays and leap years.
Thursdays in leap years or Thursdays and leap years?
I don't know.
I guess it doesn't really matter if it's either one. It's still disgusting. But, I wanted to bring this up. I know Carol's not in the chat tonight because she's not feeling well. But I wanted to bring this up before we go to Debbie, specifically because this was brought to my attention this morning, and I'm off the bat, I'm claiming not to know enough about it to be an authority on it, but I think it's something that people can pay attention to a little bit. A bill was passed in the Senate, I believe, or the House, and it's going to the Senate by Republican Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz of Florida. And a couple of other congresspersons, I guess, and it's called the Breast Cancer Education and Awareness Requires Learning Young Act of 2009. The Early Act, E-A-R-L-Y, the Early Act will initiate an aggressive public education campaign about breast cancer and women under the age of 40, with an emphasis on women at higher risk due to race, ethnicity, or generic heritage. So this sounds pretty huge. A congressional legislative bill focused exclusively and specifically on young women under 40. I think from what I'm to understand, yes, everything sounds fabulous and fantastic, but from what I'm to understand, there's been some blowback from the National Breast Cancer Coalition Foundation.
Yeah, can you believe there's actually opposition for this out there?
I'm just opining extemporaneously here. I just found out about this today, and I'm going to be talking with more people this week. Apparently, there's some opposition to a bill that could provide better educational awareness for early detection or symptom identification for young women with breast cancer. It's coming from, of all places, the National Breast Cancer Coalition Foundation, and I can't imagine what this is about, but I wanted to just let everyone out there listening to know that this is probably going to be an issue you will hear about from us in the coming days and weeks as we mount whatever campaign is necessary to get all the facts, take an objective stance, and rally troops to really figure out what we can do to ensure that this is a legislative process that actually passes and doesn't get stalled because I'm just going to go out on a limb and say some whack jobs think that young women with breast cancer are any less worthy of surviving cancer than any other age group.
Unfortunately, we just got this info today, and we need to do a little research to get all the facts, but it's pretty crazy knowing that there's opposition to this, and it's probably the same jackasses that are like, we aren't going to cover mammograms for younger people because they don't need them until they're like 40 or however it works.
Well, no, I'll chime in and say I don't think this has anything to do with mammograms because I think
it's the same mindset.
It is the same mindset. Mammograms are useless under 40. I think the issue is really helping women recognize that you can get breast cancer under 40. We have a young Lisa's right here. She's nodding her head. She had breast cancer under 40.
Yeah, and so, I mean, just look at Christina Applegate. She was, 36?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
There you go.
Exactly. So, all right, so more to come on that, folks. I really wanted to bring that up. But let's go to our first let's read the news here for a second here. So let's cue the news. Here we go, the news.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Cancer.
Just the facts, ma'am.
Alrighty, folks, during this part of the Stupid Cancer News Show, we announced, I just messed that up. During this part of the Stupid Cancer Show, we announced worthy news stories to our adoring listeners to inform them about the latest and greatest in young adult programs, services, events, projects, and other stuff. If you have an upcoming program, event, service, project, or other stuff that you would like to hear broadcast during this segment, please fax it to us at 646-861-2565 or email jack@i2y.com. It's all yours, bro.
Thank you, Matthew. First up, there is a major announcement that's coming our way tomorrow morning.
That is correct.
11 a.m., go to stupidcancer.com and find out what this huge announcement is, but it's big, and you're going to want to put it all over Facebook, tweet it, Twitter it, tweet it, whatever. It's a big event in the I2Y organization, so tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, go to stupidcancer.com and find out what the heck is going on. The I'm Too Young for This Cancer Foundation and the Leukemia Lymphoma Society are proud to present the 2009 Oh My God Summit for Young Adults, Monday, May 4th in New York City. The Oh My God Summit provides attendees with valuable resources specific to the needs of young adult patients and survivors. Check out the OMG website at www.omgsummit.org. The pre-registration process is sold out. We've begun our waitlist process, and statistics regarding events like the OMG Summit say 20% of pre-registered guests will not attend. So get on the waitlist and know you still have a chance to attend this awesome event. And Matthew, I understand you spoke to Kevin Hearn this afternoon, and he's really excited to be coming and
Kevin called me today that he's very, very excited to he was actually in New York today, so he thought to give me a call to learn a little bit more. And he's stoked. He's so excited. He is a cancer survivor. He had CML 9 years ago, and this is a very meaningful event for him to be a part of. And you can bet your ass there's going to be a kick-ass bare-naked ladies movement going on at OMG.
Yeah, that's awesome. And for those of you who don't know who Kevin Hearn is, he is the keyboardist for the bare-naked ladies, and he will be performing for us at the end of the conference. So go to omgsummit.org and get on the list if you're not on there already. Hey, all you survivors in OH.
I-O.
Thanks, Matt. You're getting better each week.
Every week.
I'm going to get a cue card for you. Saturday, May 9th, Matthew Zachary will be the keynote speaker at the second annual Brain Tumor Awareness and Survivor event in Columbus, Ohio. This event is presented by the Ohio State University Comprehensive Cancer Center, James Cancer Hospital, and SoLove Research Institute, and is being held at the Fawcett Center on the campus of the Ohio State University. There is no cost to attend this. However, registration is required. To register for the Survivor event, please call Deanne Valentine at 614-293-4448. Breast Cancer Recovery is proud to present their 2009 Infinite Boundaries Retreat, May 28th through May 31st in Eagle River, Wisconsin. Please refer to bcrecovery.org for more information, or you can reach them at 888-821-1140. We have numerous official I2Y events on our schedule. Please refer to events.i2y.com. As a precursor to the May 4th OMG Summit, the I2Y New York City Meetup Group is staging our pre-OMG Happy Hour Wednesday, April 29th at the Mercury Bar, located at 9th Avenue and 46th Street in Midtown Manhattan. Join us as we kick off the OMG 2009 season with a fun night out on the town. Next up on the event schedule, I2Y Gainesville Chapter presents I2Y Stupid Cancer Ice Cream Social, April 28th from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Sweet Dreams in Gainesville, Florida. And Matthew, Jason was saying in the chat room at the top of the show that Ice Cream Social is gaining momentum and it's going to be a great crowd.
As long as, you know, not to interrupt you here, but there was a thing on the Food Channel about the Vermonster. Have you heard about this? Ben and Jerry's has like a 9,000 scoop.
It's a bucket. It's 20 scoops of ice cream and then all the fixings, and it comes in like a plastic bucket.
Yeah, we need to work in the Vermonster theme into this I2Y ice cream thing.
And we got to get a video of Jason and Erica polishing one off on their own.
There we go.
I am going to Florida on April 28th just to see
it's
that.
It's vomit for the cure. That's what it is.
That's right. They wonder if they have pink ice cream.
Oh, God.
Okay, next up on the events.i2y schedule. I just read that one. Next up is...
Lay off the ludes, dude.
We have... I'm still recovering from your after party. Stupid Cancer Happy Hour, April 30th, from 7 to 11 at the Valley Tavern in San Francisco, California. From 7 to 11 at the Valley Tavern, 4054 24th Street in San Francisco. There's no cover, and friends and spouses are welcome. That's it for the events, because a lot of the events were this past week. So moving on, attention New York City. I feel like a lot of stuff is going on in New York City. A
lot of stuff.
This Friday, April 17th, Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center is hosting their regional conference focusing on brain tumors. Gain up-to-date information on your own or a loved one's diagnosis with others in the brain tumor community. Attendees will learn about the latest advancements in standard and experimental therapy, integrative medicine, coping strategies, and more. For more information on this Memorial Sloan Kettering Conference, refer to www.braintumor.org. Can't Make a Dream, Ovarian Cancer Retreat is being held April 30th through May 4th. Make a Dream's Young Adult Survivor Retreat is May 13th through the 18th, and I will be there. That's right, folks. I, Jack Bouffard, will be heading out to fabulous Montana, and I hope you will join me. For more information on hanging out with me, Can't Make a Dream, please refer to campdream.org or call Can't Make a Dream at 406-549-5987. Has everyone purchased Carol's book yet? If you haven't, please buy it, because Carol's not feeling well, and that would certainly make her feel better. Everything Changes, The Insider's Guide to Cancer in Your 20s and 30s, is the newly released book written by our very own Stupid Cancer co-host, Carol Rosenthal. Everything Changes dusts the sugar coating off the young adult cancer experience. It is packed with dripping stories and an unprecedented collection of young adult cancer resources. Everything Changes is available wherever books are sold. Visit Carol's website at everythingchangesbook.com. Next up, we have 70k.org. That's the word 70, the letter K, .org. There are approximately 70,000 people aged 15 to 39 diagnosed with cancer every year. For over two decades, there has been little or no improvement in survival for this age group. By signing this bill, you are supporting the Adolescent and Young Adult Cancer Bill of Rights to be established as a standard for care to meet the needs of this underserved population. Moving on to cancer care programs. The young adult groups that are active and running at Cancer Care are as follows: Living with Cancer, Inactive Treatment, Life After Cancer, Post-Treatment, Young Adults Loss of a Parent, Young Women with Breast Cancer, Young Adult Individual Grief Counseling, and Young Adult Caregiver for all diagnoses and relationships. Contact Julie Larson at jlarson@cancercare.org. That's JLARSON@cancercare.org. Or you can call our friend Julie at area code 212-712-6173. And finally, we have Live On, sperm banking by mail for cancer patients. Trust me, guys, don't do what I did. Mailing sperm without a Live On kit is frowned on by our federal government. For more information on sperm banking by mail, please go to www.liveonkit.com. Live sperm banking by mail is made possible by our good friends at Fertile Hope, and I would like to send a big thank you to Matthew's father for clearing up my embarrassing situation with the United States Postal Service. He really came to bat for me. And that, my friends, is the Stupid Cancer News.
All righty. Jack Bouffard. I noticed that on your voicemail, that guy who does your voicemail for you. Jack's so cool. People do his voicemail for him on his cell phone, but he says Jack Bouffard.
Well, and for those of you who have not heard my voicemail, it's Stuart Scott from ESPN.
And
he says Bouffard, booyah.
Okay, I guess that this
it's
is
a sports reference, Matt. You wouldn't understand.
This is the equivalent of you not knowing what not to wear. Is that I don't know
this
any
would
sports
be the
references.
Equivalent
okay.
Of like you know Mozart doing your voicemail.
Okay, understood. Did you say Mozart?
Mozart.
Yeah, okay.
From Salzburg. Yeah. Too many notes, Matthew. Too many notes.
Too many notes, exactly. All righty then.
What time is it?
My first guest tonight was named an AC40 Female Artist of the Year by New Music Weekly, as well as charting a top 20 hit on NMW's AC40 chart. She is a multiple ASCAP Plus award recipient, has been honored by Billboard World Song Contest, Great American Song Contest, and Singer Universe. Included on many compilation CDs, including CMT, Go Girls Music, and Songs Alive. She has two self-released albums, Good as Gone and Rustic Heart. Both are produced by Rye Ronda, and songs from both have been played on country and AC radio around the world. The music video for the song Good as Gone was recently featured on the TV show Extra and the next GAC star. Please welcome to the Stupid Cancer Show, my friend and yours, and the star, one of the stars, of I2Y Cancer Palooza 2009 Los Angeles, Debbie Hennessy.
Hey, guys.
Hello, Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi,
welcome to the show.
Hi. Great to be here.
Nice,
I love
warm
little,
welcome.
Can I have the little clapping thing follow me around wherever I go? I really like that.
Yeah, it'd be like the guy who follows a boxer to the ring
yeah.
In his braces.
Absolutely. Consider it yours.
Awesome.
Wow. So welcome to the show. It's really nice to talk to you here.
Yes, I'm honored to be here. It's such a great show, and I've been listening for a little bit here, and you know, I just can't believe the number of events you guys are in touch with, and I think it's phenomenal.
It's become very, very exciting, and it's really starting to steamroll. Was that us? What did you just do?
Looking for a date online. I'm sorry.
Jack just totally destroyed all of our technology in one fell swoop. No,
nice.
That was the sound effect of a denial.
All right. Sorry, folks, for that. Go on, Debbie. We hooked up on email almost a year ago, I believe.
Yes.
And it's been really interesting to see this come to fruition by way of your contributing to this event we're putting together.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. You know, I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and obviously there's some great people on the bill. And, you know, it looks like we're getting some other good places involved. I know UCLA and some of the other places are definitely coming on board. So it looks like it's going to be a great evening for, you know, information as well as music.
You know, I mean, I mention this a lot. I have the privilege of meeting so many amazing musicians who are either young adult survivors themselves or who are just, like, drinking the Kool-Aid of young adults and arts and music. And it takes me back to, like, this dream that I had that was destroyed by cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I had my concert this weekend, which gave me a piece of that back. But I'm always so humbled by musicians who make it and who can have this as part of their life on a full or a continually part-time basis, where you just get to go out there and perform all the time and do your work. And I got to tell you, I love your music. I love your website. I think you're unbelievably talented. And there's a real piece of that resonates very true with me on a personal level, because I wanted to have what you have. And to a certain extent, I do what I don't. And there, one can argue the grass is always greener. But congratulations to you on everything you do.
Well, thank you. I mean, you know, I certainly appreciate that. You know, I mean, it's not to, you know, demeaning of it, but it's all a struggle. I mean, I don't know, especially in today's climate, as you know, with music, I don't know anyone who, you know, isn't, you know, also working another job or, you know, trying to struggle to put things together. You know, we're all sort of in the same boat when it comes to music, I think. So, you know, but I certainly have been lucky to get a little bit of notice with the two albums. And so if I can use that to, you know, bring attention to an event like this, then, you know, sign me up.
And how old were you when you started performing?
Oh, gosh. I think the very first time I, you know, sang anything on stage by myself, I was 12.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Were you, like, forced to play an instrument, or did it just come to you naturally?
No, you know what? It was something that I always wanted to do. I always wanted to be a singer. So, that was my thing from the time I could talk. So driving my parents nutty. But you know, it took a while, and it was quite a path. I mean, obviously I did things as a teenager and such, but you know, through my 20s and stuff, it just was sort of not coming together, and it really wasn't until about 10 years ago when I came down to LA that it finally started to click. So,
well, good for you. Really, that's incredible. Who are your? I can tell by your music, like, who I think your inspirations are, but I'll let you answer the question. What has driven your creativity all these years?
You know, I'm just always loved a really good song, and I had the privilege of, I guess, being old enough to have AM radio as a kid, where everything was played. You know, it was a pop song 1 minute and a soul song the next and a country song the next, and it gave me such a good you know, base of just really good solid American music, and I think that was the biggest influence. I know, you know, now, like with iTunes, for me it's like a thrill of a lifetime to have iTunes, because it's just like the old AM radio, where you can listen to, you know, all kinds of different things. My iPod and my iTunes have been on shuffle from day one.
Excellent. Well, we're going to play a song here. We're going to play, here, Good as Gone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I'm dancing to it, whatever it is.
We're going to play Good as Gone from the album Good as Gone. And this is your latest album?
Yes, it is.
And what was the inspiration behind it?
This song was actually written by Mark Luna and Richard Wald, and I guess it had kicked around Nashville for a while, and I was so thrilled to get a hold of it because it was just such a phenomenal song. And I really liked it because it's not about running away from something. It's about running towards something or about, you know, finding out your own strengths and who you are and going for your, you know, your dreams or your goals. And so that's what really got to me about that song.
Well, I can't think of a better reason to write a song. All right, so let's cut away to this. This is Good as Gone from the album Good as Gone by Debbie Hennessy. Here we go. Great. That's a great song. That is a great song. Well, yeah, you are part of our amazing lineup of incredible talent at the second annual Cancer Palooza Artist Showcase in Los Angeles on, correct me if I'm wrong, Tuesday, May 18th. Is that the right date?
Yes.
At Molly Malone's, and the website is cancerpalooza.org.
Oh, wait, Tuesday, May 19th. Sorry.
Tuesday, May 19th. Thank you. I don't have it in front of me. But
I'll be there both days. So I don't miss it.
But I can't wait to meet you in person. I'm really thrilled and humbled that you're a part of this project with us, and it's just going to be a really great event.
Well, me too. I mean, I'm actually very honored to be a part of it in just some small way. Cancer affects, I don't know anyone whose life it hasn't affected, and especially in this age range, and it's particularly tough, so I really hope that we can, help get the word out, and especially in L.A. and where people tend to be a little laid back about things and get some people there and get some information out.
And, Debbie, for the listeners out there, your website?
It is debbiehennessy.com. or rusticheartrecords.com, either one.
Rustic Heart Records.
Yeah.
There's got to be a crazy story of some guy that did you wrong behind that.
No,
right?
You know what? I wish there was. When I was looking for names for the first CD, that was one of the ones that just sort of came to me, and I thought, well, that's kind of cool. So now I'm going to, so then I turned it into my little label. So.
You need to make up a backstory, though.
I know I should, huh? I really should.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. Your music is amazing. We'll have you back, and I look forward to meeting you next month.
Oh, I can't wait.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Debbie Hennessy, everybody.
Bye.
All righty. Moving on. My second guest is a stage 4B Hodgkin's lymphoma young adult survivor. Come on, we're more outnumbered than ever tonight. Diagnosed in 2006 at the age of 28. Wow, cancer progressed during initial chemotherapy and he underwent a stem cell transplant in November of 06. He's been in remission ever since, God bless. Currently, he's the host of the Cancer Corner internet radio talk show on TalkShoe.com and an active motivational speaker. Please welcome to the Stupid Cancer Show, my friend and yours, Bob Grayson.
Hey, friends, how are you?
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, glad to be on. Thanks for having me on tonight.
My pleasure. My pleasure to reciprocate.
And what kind of an introduction was that? That was fantastic. You know, I haven't heard Debbie sing before, but I'm going to have to check out this Left Coast show you guys got going. Sounds great.
It's
going
to be an amazing event we've got going on. It's our second annual. We did one in 07, and we're doing it again now. So technically it's
second annual, but there wasn't one in 08.
Well, there wasn't. It was late 07, so I'm counting it retroactively.
Okay.
Because
that's
I can
like
do
when
that.
I wash my shirt.
That's exactly when Jack washes his shirt, exactly.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You know, I get up to New York several times a year, so I'm hoping to get up to one of these I2I events. I haven't been to any events yet, but obviously listened to the show, and I'm a big fan.
And likewise, man, it was good to be on your show last week, too.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on, Cancer Corner. We've had a few nice guests on for the Youth and Young Adult Cancer Awareness Week, so we're plugging right along, and we were very happy to have you on. I'm honored to be on your program.
So let's start drinking your Kool-Aid. You're 28, all you right. Get diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. We're in a room right now with three other Hodgkin's lymphoma survivors.
We've got a bunch of lymphomaniacs in here.
There's a bunch of lymphomaniacs here.
And I'm Jack the lymphomaniac.
Jack's the lymphomaniac. And so where were you in your life at that point? How were you diagnosed? You know, what's your young adult crapness story?
Sure. Young adult crapness, we got to go there. You know, obviously, as a young adult, and most young adults are misdiagnosed, and I was one of those, I kind of had some symptoms stemming to Hodgkin's disease, but never thought cancer at age 28. Who does? I had like an itch, full body itch, and it was right after my dad passed away. I thought it was nerves, things like that. I had some weight loss. Dad died of a heart attack. Of course, there's always these excuses. I was trying to lose weight, lost 30 pounds in a month, was ecstatic, that kind of thing. Had a cough, and ended up going. They thought it might be a thyroid problem. Misdiagnosed. Waited a few more months. End up going in for a chest X-ray, and someone comes in and mentions Hodgkin's, and stage 4B, really. I didn't really have much time to react to that, so, that's kind of the story in a nutshell. I was, fairly professional, and I took about a year and a half off to go be treated, and ended up having the cancer progress on me, unfortunately, probably better chance of getting struck by lightning three times than having cancer or Hodgkin's progress on you, so. Ended up with a stem cell transplant in November of 06 and got out of the hospital on Thanksgiving of 06. Happy Thanksgiving, and I've been in cancer-free ever since.
Woo! Very good. You get the big applause for that one here. Everyone gets the applause for that one. There you go. So what was your – did you go to school for communications, or are you doing something completely irrelevant to what you studied?
No, really. I'm a computer dork, I'm kind of come out of the strategic business side of things, and I was about to accept the VP position at Wachovia Bank in Charlotte Charlotte, North Carolina, and ended up coming back to Pittsburgh, where I'm from, being treated here, cancer facility here, UPMC in Pittsburgh. Lucky enough, I have a world-class cancer institution in my backyard here in Pittsburgh, and really just wanted to do something special after I got through it. And I had a lot of problems finding positive influences on the internet when I was diagnosed, and I went on the internet and I found a lot of crappy stories and some really negative stuff. So I really wanted to do something positive, and that's where Cancer Corner came out of. So yeah, it's kind of something completely out of my element, but some people tell me I fit right in. So who knows really what the overall plan is for me, but I'm glad to be doing Cancer Corner right now.
I mean, it's always fun to march to the beat of your own drummer, I suppose.
Sure. You know, and it's just something that I can do, and the joys of internet radio. I don't have to necessarily have a schedule. We usually do the show every Tuesday at 9 p.m. But if I don't have a show, no one comes after me, and then I get a lot of listeners, and a lot of people download the show instead of listening live. So people can pick and choose which episodes they want to hear based on what type of cancer we talk about. And we try to keep it very open. We don't just focus on young cancer. We focus all over the world, different cancer survivors. We talk to authors. We talk to organizations. We talk to other survivors. So we do a pretty good job covering the full gamut. So people pick and choose their episodes. And I know there's a bunch of Cancer Corner listeners here listening tonight, so I'm hoping to introduce some of them to the Stupid Cancer Show who haven't heard about it yet.
And it's our pleasure to have you guys. Thanks for tuning in to hear our talk with Bob. So you were just, moseying around, doing your thing. You get diagnosed with cancer as a young adult. Did you go through the standard panoply of young adult ridiculousness where, like, they don't they don't treat you seriously, or you were in a room of like grandparents, or like.
Honestly, no. I actually, my wife, luckily enough, is in the medical profession, so I had a caregiver right there who was, strong enough to ask the right questions and get the right answers. Even though after I heard cancer, my mind went blank and I can't remember the rest of the evening. So, I was lucky in that respect, and they do a pretty good job here in Pittsburgh at sharing, your treatment options and things like that. So I didn't have a lot of the issues a lot of people have just because they don't have these major facilities in their backyards, or, don't have the kind of care that they get, you get at a major cancer facility, or don't have the luck of having a medical professional in your family as well.
So I can't help but not tie this in. I have a good friend at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. Her name is Dr. Devra Davis, and she's been on our show numerous times. She runs the Division of Environmental Oncology, and she's one of the most controversially fabulous people in the country doing what she's doing, because she is trying to not just race for the cure, she's racing for the cause. And they're trying to do these amazing epidemiological studies in chemistry and agribusiness and whatnot, digging down into what is in our food, in our atmosphere, in our soil, in our cars, in our air, that is causing cancer. And UPMC is really at the focal epicenter of a whole new movement that's getting launched into the stratosphere. Do you have any thoughts on where we might be headed in the next 5 to 6 years, or 5 to 10 years, or 20 years about, are we really just running into a giant vacuum or a black hole, throwing money toward cancer research for the cure? Or where does that fit into why do we get it in the first place?
Well, if we start listening to Devra, I think we're going to be in a good place 10 to 15 years from now. And I'm a huge fan of Devra Davis. I've had her on my show several times. And I'm a believer in the type of things that she preaches in the environmental oncology side. And, I think in some cases we have been throwing our money away. When you go out and you search for the cure and not take a look at the causes and effects of what's going on in the environment, that cause cancer. And if you're not looking at those things, then you're missing out on a big portion of cancer. And we've been talking to Cancer Corner about throwing an event for the Devra Davis Foundation, and hoping to provide some ammunition for her and her cause here at UPMC in Pittsburgh. I think that there's probably something to be said for coming at it from both angles, but certainly we haven't been coming at it from the environmental oncology side. And for it to be said that there's only one environmentally oncology center in the world, I think that's a big problem. And I think if you read Devra's books, you'll feel the same way I do.
Yeah, I mean, I guess someone has to be first.
Yeah. And Devra goes out and fights that battle, and I applaud her for everything she does, and we try to back her as much as possible on the Cancer Corner show. I know you do as well.
And so you have become a motivational speaker. What specifically do you talk about, and what are the kinds of audiences that you generally speak to?
Well, it depends. Actually, the Cancer Corner show is going both nationally and internationally now. So we're being invited to Australia to talk at a international breast cancer conference. We also do a lot of emceeing and local events here in the Pittsburgh area. But we do a lot. I talk about social media a lot and its impact on cancer advocacy and stewardship and survivorship. And I really think that there's no better group than ITY to go into the social media gamut and talk about it in the ways that you guys use social media. And I think that it just opens up a new avenue for cancer patients, who might not have in the past, wanted to call into a hotline or wanted to, are intimidated by their doctors. Now they can go out and do these social media avenues where, and it's especially prevalent in the young community. What you guys have here, the ITY efforts, I mean, where are the kids? They're all out on the internet and they're all out on these social media aspects. And you guys are hitting a home run here with the social media. And I think that it's just flipped another corner for cancer advocacy in the nation and in the world. And I'm starting to see a lot of the organizations starting to take it on. So I think that we're just kind of going into a new era for this kind of thing.
I think that was exceptionally well said. We got about a minute left. I got to get to our final guest tonight. But what's the takeaway here? Like, what's the message that you have as a young adult survivor to other young adult survivors out there? What's your message to them?
Hey guys, if you feel something, something's wrong, go to a doctor, go be treated. We have some people on the show that offer up some other options except for treatment. I always encourage everyone, go see your doctor. If you know there's something wrong, go see multiple doctors. Get out there, be seen, because I was a stage 4B Hodgkin's lymphoma person, and I didn't have to be. I could have been a stage 1 or so if I had gone right away, and I didn't. And so I always encourage my guests and others to if you feel something wrong, go to the doctor.
Bob, thank you so much for being my guest on the Stupid Cancer Show.
Thank you very much, Matthew. Appreciate it.
God bless.
Thanks
Take care
a lot,
of you.
Bob.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Bob Grayson, everybody. All righty. And finally, my final guest tonight is the founder and executive director of CaringBridge, a Minnesota-based nonprofit that provides free websites to connect family and friends during a health crisis, treatment, and recovery. It is my distinguished honor to welcome to the Stupid Cancer Show, Sona Mehring. And I really hope I got your name pronounced correctly.
Close enough.
Correct me, please.
It is Sana, very similar to Donna, but with that F, Sana Mehring.
You need one of those little umlaut things over your O or something, right?
I do, but I answer anything, so feel free.
Well, thank you for being on the show. It's a real pleasure to have you.
Well, I'm honored to be here. It's been fun listening in to both Debbie and Bob, and I think you guys have a great show.
Well, that means a lot. It means a lot coming from you. You worked very, very hard to bring something incredibly important to the market that's serving millions of people, I would imagine, and I want to hear as much about it as possible. You started this out of a personal need through a friend.
That's correct. CaringBridge has been around for 12 years now, 1997, and what CaringBridge does is, like you said, it provides free websites for people that are going through a health event, and over half of our websites are for people that are going through cancer. It did start in 97. Good friends of mine had a very premature baby and needed to get in touch with everybody quickly. Instead of making all those phone calls, I created a website. And, in fact, the same night their baby Bridget was born, that first CaringBridge site was born. And it certainly eased the burden from making phone calls, but the ability to connect people on the Internet and using technology was phenomenal, and just continually to build on that for the last 12 years. We've gone from that one site in 1997 where now every 8 minutes a new CaringBridge site gets created that can, connect people's friends and families instantly to help people get through their health journey.
You know, one of the things that I find most interesting about that, this particular model of site isn't just that it has been so scalable. I mean, if you want to look at it anthropologically, if I put my little nerd hat on, it's managed to govern itself successfully through so many different social changes in society. And I'm not just talking the speed of the internet and the way people engage with it, but how our needs get more interwoven with what it makes available to us as society evolves. And the fact that it's not about one specific type of, you know, I'll just call it a crapness that affects you, whether it's pregnancy or cancer or diabetes or whatever, it allows you to connect with people who you might not even know have an issue that you might be interested in knowing about as well.
It is very interesting, and as Caring Bridge has grown over the years, what it comes down to is it's so important to connect with people. And a lot of people use Caring Bridge to connect with either their very close group of friends and families, and some people use it to connect in a broader, more public way. And it helps all those people, no matter what level they want to connect. But staying connected to friends and family when you're going through something like cancer is so important. On those down days, it helps bring you up. On those up days, it helps you stay up there. And it not only helps, you know, the patients like you and going through that, but it helps those immediate people that are, you know, primary caregivers to you. And it helps your friends and family who just want to know what's going on. When is it a good time to call Matt? When can we do something else? You know, what should I be doing to help the situation? And Caring Bridge allows, in a free, easy-to-use way, just that dynamic to happen.
We have a question from the chat room about how your organization is largely funded. Do you receive grants, or are you largely driven by individual giving?
We are largely driven by individual giving. 90% of our funding are from individual contributions, and our average gift is about $60, and we have... That's the reach of Caring Bridge. If we weren't providing a value, people would not be donating to make sure that this service was available for others. And what having it as a nonprofit really frees us to, we're not worried about making profits of it. We're not putting ads on for anything. We can keep it very personal and unique. And our customers are these families that are using Caring Bridge. And it's just really freeing to be able to be driven by that instead of by a profit margin.
And, you know, I'm looking here at some of your metrics. These are unbelievably impressive. 30 million site visits in 2008, 139,000 personal websites created, over 850 million page views or hits made to CaringBridge websites. These are incredible numbers. I guess the question then becomes, you know, you've been around before blogs were invented. And you kind of invented blogs, in a sense, with this model. How have you found the competing landscape in social media, this notion of consumer-driven content? People want to create their own wikis and not necessarily fall into an existing platform, per se. Have you seen any decrease in usage, or has it actually helped to bolster sort of the niche solution you have?
You're right on. It has actually helped bolster it, and you're right. When Caring Bridge started in, you know, again, 1997, the word blog wasn't even in the lexicon yet, and social media and social networking certainly wasn't. And in essence, Caring Bridge was one of those first founding, you know, frontiers of user content, social networking. And one thing we've kept true is I've just really felt it's most important when people are going through some type of health event, and we've kept it very much true to that. Of course, we've stayed focused all through the years that it's bringing people together when they need it most through some type of health journey. And even as the explosion of other social networks have happened, for example, Facebook, MySpace, et cetera, even as that explosion happens, when someone's going through a cancer treatment or some other condition, they will also have a Caring Bridge experience because they separate it and want to be able to talk about their cancer journey, et cetera, on that different forum that kind of honors that situation. So we see a lot. In fact, Facebook is our number two referring site. We get, you know, so the second most traffic comes from Facebook, where people are leaving their, you know, more open social network to come over to their Caring Bridge site that's talking about their health journey.
And I guess the other question would be, how do you guys continue to differentiate yourselves from, I would be remiss to call them competitors, but groups like, you know, Care Pages or Lots of Helping Hands?
Yep. Well, one is we are a nonprofit and really driven by, we want to make sure we're bringing value to the patient, to the caregiver, to the friends and families that are visiting it. And they are our customers. They are the ones that we are driven by. That makes a huge difference for us. We are not revenue-driven. We are mission-driven, and that's a huge difference. And we are focused only on making sure that when people need to connect to their friends and family, Caring Bridge is there for them. And I think that focused journey that we've stayed on and that freedom of not having to drive a profit helps us tremendously.
Well, you have a policy that I'm a huge fan of. It's one of our policies, too. We do not allow any advertising, banners, or spam on any of our website pages, with the exception of the radio show, because that's clearly a brandable marketing asset. But I think that takes a lot of chutzpah to fend off the opportunity for those types of revenue streams.
Yeah, and when you some of the numbers that you quoted earlier, the phone certainly does ring when you start getting the level of traffic that Caring Bridge has. And even Caring Bridge personal sites are they're blocked from search engines. So we actually take a hit from, search engine marketing type things that are going on to really honor. And I always think of it as I like to protect the people that use Caring Bridge.
Sure.
They're there. They're coming there. We're a very trusted source, and we feel that's a responsibility of ours, that we are always honoring that. So, cornerstones of Caring Bridge that has always been there, will always be there, is it's free, it's there to use, it's easy to use, and it's not our site, it's your site.
You built it, they came, and they're still coming, and even after 14.4 dial-up modems in 1997, we're still here. There's something to really be said about that.
And I still have code that I wrote in 1997, if you believe it or not, that's still running today. It's like that old movie Tron. I wrote a program that just wanted to be used, and it's still being used.
So are you originally from Minnesota?
I grew up in Wisconsin, but have been a Midwest gal all my life. Grew up in Wisconsin, been to Minnesota about half my life, though.
So can you say Minnesota?
I can certainly say Minnesota and Fargo.
Yeah.
You betcha.
Yeah,
well,
we're from New York.
About.
We thrive on this stuff
here
in New York. It's what keeps us going every day.
Yeah.
Yes, I come to New York fairly often, and many people pick up on my Minnesotan and Wisconsin accent. So.
Well, I spent many a long hour at the MSP airport on layover, so I love your airport. It's a brilliant, clean
sometimes
facility.
Sometimes without his checked luggage.
Sometimes without my checked luggage, yeah. But, if there's ever a place to get laid over, MSP is actually a decent airport to
Giggity.
Stop it. We can go any direction you want with
I'm
that,
sorry,
man.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you say the word over.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yes, Minneapolis-St. Paul has a beautiful airport if you get stuck in it. That's true.
Well, we could go.
We did.
We did.
We got
actually,
stuck coming back from APOD.
We did. But in any case, I really appreciate you taking the time to come on our show. We'd love to have you back. Please keep in touch. And when you're in New York, I'd love to meet you.
Thanks. I noticed someone on the blog mentioned that we didn't have any medical directors on our board of directors. We do have two or three fairly deep medical type people that are on our board of directors. We don't have a medical director per se, but we have lots of great influence and advisors from the medical community that we really honor and seek out.
No, we like you. You're great. You're a fan of I2Y. We're a fan of Caring Bridge.
All right, excellent, gentlemen. You do great work, and I appreciate being on the show.
Thanks, Sana. Take care.
Thanks for coming on.
All right, bye-bye.
Sana Maring, everybody, founder and executive director of Caring Bridge. All righty, and now it's time for our closing sequence.
Prepare to activate.
I hear there's rumors on the internets.
Have you ever seen a grown man naked?
And so, to all of you, a fond farewell.
Hooray, I'm helping.
You are a meathead.
Oh, Magoo, you've done it again.
That was so terrible, I think you gave me cancer.
All right, Jack.
Good show, Matthew.
Thank you, my friend. I hope you had as much fun as I did poking a stick at stupid cancer, everybody. I'd like to thank our guests, Debbie Hennessy, Bob Grayson, and Sana Mehring. Next week, it is our pre-OMG Summit Buzz Nation with Sage Bolte, Meg Harrison, and Karen DeMero from the Leukemia Lymphoma Society, Marcia Stein from the Young Survival Coalition, Monica Knoll from Cancer 101. I'd like to thank our in-studio guests, Annabelle Holland, Rhonda Miller, and Lisa Wolf. Next week's going to be a hell of a show, folks. Same bad time, same bad channel. Remember, if you've missed any of our previous shows, just listen to the archive at stupidcancershow.com or subscribe to our podcast on iTunes at itunes.ituy.com. Remember, if it's not stupid, it's not cancer. We'll see you all back here next week, my friends, live from the chemo deck. Jack Bouffard, the sick, and we hope she gets better real soon, Carol Rosenthal, Captain Stooping, and I wish you all a phenomenal week. Go to bed, Leah. Fokker out.